Okay, we're recording.
Are we going to sing?
Well, it depends. I'm going to get to the episode, Mark.
Excellent. You sure you want to upgrade to video at some point? Because I feel like that
Well,
would take away a lot of our opportunities here.
Hi, this is Jason and Mark with Innerman Radio.
A free service to thinkers everywhere, demystifying the Bible by asking the questions your neighborhood pastor is afraid to answer.
So how do we want to introduce this, Mark?
You have a subtitle listed that I think is provocative, but I'm not sure if we should use it.
Well, I'll say it. Well, maybe we shouldn't use it, but I'll just say it right here.
I don't know if you want to say that before we decide whether or not it's appropriate.
Is it?
I'm not sure.
On
the one hand,
yeah.
It is quite literally exactly what this parable is about, but I think it's going to give people the wrong idea. It sounds controversial.
It could be, but it really depends. To the pure, all things are pure, Mark.
Mm.
So
that's what concerns me. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking today about leaving the old bag behind.
The wineskin parable.
Oh, the wineskin parable.
We're talking about the wineskin parable.
Yeah. Yes. So imagine a scenario, Mark, where a person gets divorced.
A person is divorced.
Okay. And mm-hmm. and they get a new wife.
A new wife.
They
All
get
right.
a new wife. Is that, I don't know if they, that's probably not phrased.
Order one.
Right?
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're married, and but they have one little caveat in the new relationship, and that is they're going to make some space for the ex in the house.
In their house?
In their house. So
okay.
They're gonna bring her up from the basement once a week.
The basement.
Or bring him up. That's probably bring him up from the basement once a week and for dinner. You know, to have dinner together. And,
like locked in the basement, I could understand that, but
but the idea is that it was really hard to leave the first one completely behind.
That's a problem.
and the second one, the second one just kind of has to deal with it.
It sounds more like Jerry Springer episode than it does a Bible. You sure this is a Bible parable?
I think this is Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I have no idea.
I don't think it's going to work in either case. That's there's no way. I mean, Jacob tried that with Rachel, and it didn't pan out.
No,
it didn't pan out.
Well, they didn't have Jerry Springer in Jesus' day.
Thankfully,
right. we don't have him today either. That's
okay.
That's like so 30 years ago, or the Kardashians. But they did have messes, and they had marriages, and they had issues.
Messy marriages. Yeah. Right. And so Jesus' disciples, right, are having a discussion with the disciples of John, and they're asking about fasting, and Jesus answers in his typical style. That almost makes the question more difficult. He answers in Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. He said, "No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. New wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved."
Yeah, so what does this have to do with our buddy who moved his ex-wife into the house, Mark?
I don't know. That might be a
mixing metaphors.
Stretch.
Oh, wow.
But some things just don't mix. You can't take from the old, and you can't just patch it with the new, or vice versa. Jesus, of course, is not discussing family law or those sorts of dynamics, but he is trying to illustrate the old covenant and the necessity to make a clean break from the old and to replace it with the new.
Yeah, so we'll come back to that. So about the parable, why wouldn't you put new wine into old wineskins? I mean, I see plenty of older people imbibing all the time.
I see what you did there. So Jesus, it would be well known to them, but if in our listening audience, if you don't make wine often, you might need to know that when wine ferments through the process that makes it become wine, it expands, right? It has to breathe. So the volume grows through the fermentation process, and a new skin which is how they didn't have glass bottles. And so a new skin is what they would put that new wine into. It'd be the skin of an animal, usually like a goat. And so they would sew it up and it would become a bag shape. And they would put those liquids into those containers. And so if you do that with new wine, which we would call grape juice, you fill the new skin with new wine, that is grape juice that has not yet fermented, then that's good because when the wine ferments and expands, then the skin stretches in order to accommodate the greater volume.
Yeah, so Jesus really, though, he's using this picture, but he's not really talking about how to make really good wine.
No, it's not.
Or make sure it's not a mess on the floor. And he would explain this later, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant in Luke chapter 22, verse 20.
So in terms of what is being what's being consumed in Luke 22, he says, when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, and he said, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." Yet Jesus doesn't tell the people who hear his illustration initially about the wineskins and the new wine versus the old. He doesn't tell them what that's referring to. And it really won't be until the Last Supper where Jesus makes that a little more clear and draws the connection between the new wine, that is the new covenant, and the drinking.
So, okay, on the individual level, though, so the old covenant man was held with a fleshly mindset, right?
Yes.
And the new covenant man is born of spirit, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that brings me to Romans 8, 2.
Sure does.
For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did.
That's three.
Oh, and three is really good, too. Three is really where it all comes together. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death.
Right. And he repeats that even in verse 5. He says, those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. These two things, these two mindsets, or these two covenants, do not mix.
So the fleshly mind is at odds with the spiritual mind.
Sure, the fleshly mind is always looking, what's my angle? How can I get the advantage? What can I get away with? And the fleshly mind has to be restrained by the law of commandments. Don't do this, don't do that, don't touch that. Whereas the spiritual mind, the new covenant mind, is asking instead, how can I please the Lord?
Right, so we're talking in big generalities here, but let's bring it down to the street level for a second. So for the fleshly mind can sound real spiritual.
Yeah.
It really can. And it makes a great appearance. It has the appearance of wisdom for sure. But, you know, if we take like air quotes, godly living, for instance.
Okay.
So, you know, you can have a fleshly mindset and still be aiming towards things that are good, but aiming at them from the fleshly mindset. So take like what we wear or assembly attendance.
You think these shorts are too short? Is that what you're saying?
Well, Mark,
if you want to just say,
I was
going to
say something,
it.
But yeah, on you,
yeah. Ooh.
Coming from me, anybody who knows us, that just doesn't hold much water.
But you, yeah. But yeah, you could come at that question from two very different angles. One is, okay, what does the law say? How short can I go? What can I get away with? And the other is, well, what's more pleasing to the Lord?
Right. Right. But the fleshly mindset says, well, I need to have, this is the length. But then you're always looking for how close to
what's
that.
What's my angle?
Yeah. How close can I get? And we see, yeah, anyway. But it can be that way with all kinds of things, whether it's assembly, attendance.
Sure.
You know, we all know Hebrews 10:26, you know, as is the habit of some. Define those habit. What is that habit? How often?
It qualifies as neglect.
Yeah. And I don't think, you know, so, but the spirit, let's just take attendance. Let's just take assembly attendance for a second. The spiritual mindset would be what?
I want to be there. The spiritual mindset is, what can I bring to the assembly? What can I bring to offer and encourage the brethren?
It's not, I need to be at the assembly so I can avoid that bad habit of not being at the assembly.
Yes. Right. Yep, precisely. But that covers everything from what we eat and drink, who we hang out with, what technologies we allow, the movies we watch, things we don't watch. I mean, all of those in principle are good things, but the motive makes a huge difference in how we approach the questions. And Jesus, in describing new wine and old wine, is really speaking to the heart. He's speaking to the motive of why we do what we do.
Yeah, and it's not just what things we do. It's not the standard of how... The issue at hand isn't the standards. It's not God's standard for us. That's not the issue. We're not lowering standards here. But the issue is, how do we get there? So under the law, we're looking to measure and set requirements under the law, right? And by doing so, we really create a scenario that separates the righteous from the unrighteous according to outward appearance.
Yep. This is results-based righteousness.
Yeah, those who don't cross the line versus those who do, you know. So as long as I don't cross the line, I can go right up to it and be okay.
Right.
Now, if I'm a listener here, I might be objecting a little bit because there, I don't know anybody, well, maybe we do, but I don't think I know very many people who would openly admit saying, oh yeah, I'm that guy who's looking to see how close to the line I can get without breaking the law.
Right.
But no one's going to admit that, right?
They may not, but I think Paul implies that there are such folks in Colossians 2:21, where he talks about do not handle, taste, or touch as being those laws which are supposed to restrain people, or at least in principle, they're supposed to hold people back from bad behavior. But taste, handle, or touch doesn't say how close you can or cannot get, right? Don't taste it, but can I sniff, right? Don't handle it, but, you know, can I, don't touch, like, there's a fine
line. But I can look
there.
Yeah, I can look.
But just don't touch. Yeah, exactly. And see, if that's why he describes it, he says, you know, they all refer to things destined to perish with the using, and more importantly, they're of no value against fleshly indulgence. So the law, while it supposedly restrains people from handling, tasting, and touching, actually doesn't, because if I can get this close, that's a small step over that line.
Yeah, and on the other side of that coin is the person who says, well, and this might speak more to more people, maybe not, but it's like, well, I don't do this or that thing, so I must be okay. So for those who aren't tasting and handling and touching, they could say, well, I'm okay because I didn't taste and I didn't handle and I don't touch. I don't do that. I'm at assembly every week. My clothes are modest. I'm okay. I don't do this. I don't cuss, drink, or chew, or go with the girls that do, right? So because of those things, I must be okay. So that's the flip side of it is I am keeping on the outward appearance all these rules, so therefore I'm justified.
Right, and that's just as dangerous as the other. The system is totally incompatible with the new covenant or the new wine that Jesus described. That thinking is old wineskin thinking. So as Christians, our minds got to be set on the Spirit. That is, the Spirit of the commandment instead of trying to stretch the line as far as we can to see what we can get away with. So, I mean, imagine if you took someone out of the old covenant where he's just trying to keep the law, keep from being condemned by the commandment, getting away with what he can, where he can, but he's not really attempting to keep the spirit of the law. So you take somebody like that out of the old covenant and you put him in the new covenant where all things are lawful.
Mm-hmm.
But not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Well, the fleshly mindset, here's the first part of that. All things are lawful.
Amen, brother. Right?
And so I'm under grace now.
Yeah.
And I'm not condemned, and I don't have a guilty conscience. Therefore, man,
let's go for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right?
Woohoo.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus is describing when he says you're taking a new patch and putting it on an old garment. That combination that bringing together, that hybrid of the Christianity and the law, is disastrous to both.
Yeah. So I'm going to play opposite game one more time on you here. Okay. It's opposite day. So because people listen to what we just described and they say, well, I don't do that. I mean, that's yes, they do, Mark. Uh-huh. They listen to, and they this is exactly what they're thinking. I know. Our audience right now is thinking, well, I don't do that. I don't say that. Right, audience? Right. So, but there's, how about the folks who think instead, well, I am doing these things in my Christian walk, therefore I'm okay. Anytime you start in the mental process, you start with, I'm doing blank, therefore I'm blank. You're caught in the old man mindset.
That is the old mindset. Yep, for sure. Whereas the new mindset
is... So you might be doing all the right things and still be lost.
Yep.
Yeah.
And still be in that old covenant mindset.
Yeah.
Whereas the new covenant says it's what I have believed that causes me to be righteous, rather than what I have done that makes me right with God.
Okay, I'm done playing opposite now. So let's talk about how that played out a little bit in the early church. There was an influence that tried to pull people who had come out of the old and try to pull them back in, right?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. So particularly in the book of Galatians, but not exclusively, Paul addresses that exact influence where there is a push from Christians who had been Jews, made the transition to Christianity, but then it was really tempting for them to slip back under the law with the idea that what they did would justify them according to those works. And of course, that is a major problem in the first century, and it was well illustrated by the Jew-Gentile split. But in our day, legalism is a little bit more subtle. It's not. It doesn't take the form of circumcision or keeping of the Jewish feast days. In our day, legalism is a little bit more subtle, but it's just as dangerous. You can't bring those two things together. Paul says there just cannot be any kind of meeting in the middle. There's no hybridization between the old and new covenants. And he makes that clear in several ways. He illustrates in Galatians chapter 4 that there could be no peaceful resolution between Hagar and Sarah, right? Those two systems were not compatible with each other. He describes how their desire to be justified by the law was incompatible with their proclamation that they were justified by Christ. He says, if you go back to the other, he says, you've destroyed that. In fact, in chapter 5, he's quite emphatic when he says, you who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace.
Sometimes it's hard to see that. We will keep it up to sometimes. Those two systems don't mix. We'll keep it up to there.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So let's pull that back to marriage, right? So we started off with the guy who brought in the ex, right? So how that would apply and is you've died with Christ so that you might be joined to another.
Yes.
Right.
Not so you can go back to the old one.
So Jesus is using wineskins and to illustrate this principle. We've talked about marriage to also kind of add on to it a little bit. But let's talk about the tabernacle, because the tabernacle really was kind of the Old Testament version of the wineskin that Jesus is talking about, right?
It was, in a way, a wineskin of sorts. The tabernacle, once prepared as a result of Moses' instruction in the wilderness, follows the Israelites for several centuries, and they bring it along with them. But in its building, something really exciting took place. And that's repeated When the temple, the ultimate replacement of the tabernacle, is prepared by Solomon. But both in both cases, something really quite miraculous happens. Mm-hmm. When everything is prepared, when all has been made ready and it's been sprinkled clean, sanctified for God's use, the way Hebrews 9 describes, right? Then God filled the tabernacle. They had it all built just according to Moses' specifications. All the furniture is prepared. The tabernacle's done. It's covered. All is ready. The priests are set. And then in the wilderness, God fills the tabernacle. And it looks like, to the Israelites, it looks like that shining cloud that they've been following, right, through the wilderness, fills that tabernacle. The bright, shining Shekinah glory of God fills that tabernacle. The same thing happens in 1 Kings 8 when the temple has been prepared, right? Everything is ready. Everything's been done. It took Solomon 7 years to build that monstrosity, and it was glorious. But that was small potatoes compared to what filled the temple, which was the same spirit that filled the tabernacle in Moses' day. The result is that that structure was completely, I think consumed might be an appropriate word, consumed by God's glory. It was filled to the brim with the character and with the glory of God. In the New Testament, God doesn't use a tabernacle in the sense of a tent covered with skin and hair curtains. Neither does the temple in the New Testament occupy a particular geographical space.
No, instead, under the New Covenant, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that we are the temple of God and that God's Spirit dwells in us. So God filling us to the brim with His Spirit really makes us, that's the new wineskin. We are the new wineskin.
We are the new wineskins, right? And it can't go into that old mindset. The scripture even uses this kind of play on words in Acts chapter 2. When he talks about the Spirit, he says, He has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Well, He didn't pour it into the tabernacle, and He didn't pour it into Herod's temple, which was standing in that day. He poured it onto those who had believed in Him. And that pouring, outpouring of God's Spirit, He has poured forth this which you both see and hear. We are filled with the Spirit. Ephesians uses that language several times, filled up to all the fullness of Christ, right? That's the Spirit in us. We are new skins, new covenant people, and as such, we are perfectly prepared to deal with the Spirit within us, because the Spirit is going to push. The Spirit in you is going to push you. It's going to stretch you as an individual.
And that's okay, because
that's a good thing.
You're a new wineskin. With Christ, you can handle that.
Yes.
You know, the new creature can handle that.
Right. See, the old mindset, the old covenant person, weighed down by guilt and other things, cannot be pushed the way a new covenant, new creature can. In Christ, you're new, so the Spirit can move. The Spirit can push and can stretch on you, to be compelled to do things by the Spirit, that is just to keep the commandments, love the Lord and love your neighbor. That's the stretch to become the new man. So Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, in something of a play on words, he says, "And don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And then he describes how one might do that. Paul says, if getting drunk with wine, that's dissipation. He says, don't do that. But he says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, it's interesting, the wordplay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oftentimes beverages that have alcohol are even called
spirits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's a sort of a motivating factor in alcohol.
A couple glasses of courage.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Okay. Yeah, there's a spirit there that Well, we might say it removes some inhibitions.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof and the most attractive guy in the room, right? There's, right? It removes some inhibitions. It allows the inner person really to come out a little bit.
Yeah.
And so...
Yes, it magnifies what's really in there.
Yes, yes.
Really, yes. Both yeah. good or bad. I mean, if yep. you're an angry person, I mean, anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's angry drunks, there's happy drunks, there's sad drunks.
Yeah.
But what about the spirit in you? As a Christian, the spirit in you should push a little bit, should cause you to stretch a little out of your traditional comfort zone, should remove a few inhibitions. So that you're motivated, right? You're compelled by the Spirit to do the things that are pleasing to the Lord. So when he says, be filled with the Spirit, that's not some kind of a speaking in tongues exercise, but it is just as miraculous to allow the Spirit of God within you to push and to stretch on you and to stretch with him as he changes you through the new covenant of not what you have to do, but rather what you want to do, driven from the inside, pushed from the inside, rather than restrained from the outside. And we'll see you next time on Intermed Radio.
Yeah, thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, you can be sure to never miss an episode by visiting innermanradio.org or get automatic notifications on your phone with the Innerman Radio app. It's available on Google Play or Apple stores.